Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Hey, Doug Mallard.
Hey, Doug Benson.
Dude.
What's up?
Dude.
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 You know, I've been appearing regularly on this podcast called Will You Accept This Rose?
And oh, yeah.
We've had host Arden Mirren and then frequent guests from that show, Paget Brewster, have been here on Wide World of Doug's. So the plundering of guests from that show continues today.
Great.
With Rob Benedict, who I already knew before doing Arden's show, but we've been appearing on that together a few times now, so I thought he'd be great over here. From Felicity to Supernatural, this dude has a ton of acting credits, and he's a nice guy to boot.
Yeah, I like the continue of the plundering. Let's bring it on.
All right, let's go to work. All right. How's it going, Rob Benedict?
I'm doing great, Dougs. Thanks for thanks for having me on.
Thanks for referring to us in the plural like that. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Coming right out of the gate, this is a crossover event because you and I have been matched up as part of the dream team over on Will You Accept This Rose?
That's right.
We've just suddenly been doing a lot of podcasting together.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, Rob's a cool guy. Let's talk to him over on Wide World of Doug's. And my first question for you is, do you know anybody in Finland?
I don't think that I do. No, I don't think that I do. I'm sure I've met somebody, but no.
Well, some people are going to know you in Finland because apparently this podcast is very popular there.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Well, I was just given this piece of information. I was so excited.
Hello to all of our Finnish listeners.
Yeah. Well, no, don't tell them to finish. We want them to listen to the whole thing.
Oh, all right.
But yes, thank you to them for listening. And thanks to them for being somewhere where English is, you know, one of the several languages that they probably speak.
Yeah, I'm sure. Other countries like that, they are taught at an early age English. They're pumped into their schools here in America.
Yeah, I mean, imagine how much smarter we'd be if they just taught us other languages when we're young and it's easier to learn that stuff.
I know.
Instead of waiting till high school when you know you hate the idea of learning another language.
Exactly.
You've checked out and found weed, you know?
Exactly.
Because also, even the people that like excelled at a language course in high school, they didn't like leave that course knowing how to speak that language.
Right. Like, right. No. I took French for like 6 years and I can't put a sentence together.
Yeah. No, all I know how to say is un peu.
Yeah, little bit.
Just as little. I think that's a great answer to any French question.
That's right, because that's all I speak.
Just a little. All right. So, Rob, you were born and raised in the Midwest in Missouri.
That's right.
And Columbia specifically.
That's right.
So, did you favor one city over the other when it comes to St. Louis and
Kansas City?
Kansas City.
I favored St. Louis for sports. I always was like a St. Louis Cardinals fan because that's where my mom's family came from. They were all big St. Louis Cardinal fans. But I had a cousin, two cousins who lived in Kansas City. So I actually spent more time in Kansas City. So I got no issues with either, but I still am a Cardinals fan, and really just kind of has to do with my sort of my mom, I guess. So both cities are cool. I mean, we're right in the middle of the state in Columbia. So
yeah.
Like split down the middle.
It's a real Sophie's choice there, which of the big really cities you're going to visit, because they're equidistant in opposite directions.
Exactly. But I have memories of taking the Greyhound bus to visit my cousins in Kansas City. But I was always unpopular there because I was wearing my Cardinals hat. Yeah.
And did you ever, being in Columbia, you're also reasonably close to the region featured in the Jason Bateman show, Ozark.
That's right.
Did you ever vacation at those lakes?
I did, actually. The Ozarks, the Lake of the Ozarks that I knew was a little bit classier than that, than the, on the show, but no one was dying. I had a friend who had a condo down there. And so I went down and would go like water skiing and, you know, that kind of thing. It's this enormous lake. Lake of the Ozarks. And it was fun when I was a kid to go down there. I don't know what it's like now. Missouri's changed a lot. Looking back as an older person, I'm like, oh, wow, was Missouri always like that? it's very much a red state. And so I don't know what things are like actually at the Ozarks now, but the last time I went, I was in college actually, and it was spring break, and I was like, let's go to the Ozarks. And we went down and just went swimming and whatnot. That's about all you do there. You just kind of drink and swim, beer and skiing.
That's not really bad.
That's what threw me off about the TV show coming out, is it took me a minute to put together that that was the same place that, I don't know why the TV show is singular like that, Ozark.
Yeah.
When everybody calls it the Ozarks.
Yeah. Yeah. Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Hmm. Where are you from, Doug Benson?
Oh, I grew up in San Diego, and
okay,
we've discussed how boring that is on the show before. Uh-huh. But what about the name? You're our first Rob on the show. I assume it's just short for Robert.
That's correct.
And how do you feel about the name Robert? Like, how did it work for you? Are you comfortable with it your whole life?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I'm named after my grandfather was Robert Patrick. His last name was Dynaughton. But I'm Robert Patrick Benedict. And I was always okay with it. I was called Robbie when I was younger. And now as an adult, there's a group of friends that calls me Robbie. I've got another group of friends who call me Bob, but that's almost as a joke. You know what I mean? Like, because I'm so not Bob. Robert always was like, I never loved Robert as a name. I really like anything else, but Robert, I never loved, because it just sounded too, like, I don't know, like
formal.
Yeah, too formal. Like there are Michaels that really want to be called Michael, but some Michaels want to be called Mike. I don't know. I'm a Robert that would rather be called Rob or Robbie. Bob, I guess Bob's funny. So I guess Bob's fine. growing up, I didn't know many other Robs, but I always felt it's a fine name. It's not like, it's pretty common. But it's fine. I always felt like a Rob. I feel like that's, my name kind of fits me.
It is a popular name. I it's one where, you know, when I think of Rob's or Robert's, I a lot of people come to mind.
Yeah. Yeah. But in other countries, I'm told, like in France, you know, Robert is actually like a, it's like an old man's name. It's like old school name. So it's like, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know, Harry or, you know, Fred or something is to us. Like it's old, old name, granddad's name.
How would you feel about going by Robert?
Robert's cool.
Roby.
Yeah. Roby. Robert. Please call me Robert.
And what about, to just talking about overall name, you know, name pride or name shame.
Yeah.
Where were you at as a youth with the last name Benedict? Because that must have been easy for certain allusions to be made in the schoolyard.
Yes. I definitely got, in elementary school, there were a lot of like, I'm a traitor. A lot of people like to make the Benedict Arnold joke,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I was always quick to be like, but that was his first name, my last name. And then my brother was like this big basketball star. He's 6'4" and I'm like 5'7". So people called him Eggs. And when I sort of went to his high school after he left, they called me Scrambled. I don't know. That was the joke. Is that like, I don't know, for some reason that made them laugh. I was like, not quite Eggs, but I was Scrambled. but yeah, those are the big things you hear. You hear a lot of Eggs jokes and a lot of Benedict Arnold jokes. And as a kid, I did have something against Benedict Arnold. I'm not a traitor, kind of got to me. But as an adult, there was the Pope Benedict. And that was the first time where I was like, I was actually a little embarrassed because Pope Benedict had kind of a bad rep for popes. And so I was always like, you know, oh shit, he picked Benedict, like great. but then, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch came around, and then I feel like that, you know, in terms of the history of Benedict, I feel like he put it back up in the positive.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, cool, I don't feel that negative towards it just because of Benedict Arnold or the egg dish.
The egg dish, yeah. But now the egg dish, I kind of take pride in that. Like if I go to brunch with friends, it's like, hey, this restaurant gets it. You know, they'll have like a whole Benedict, you know, a whole page dedicated to Benedict.
So then you, you know, come out to the coast, you come to California to be an actor.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on Robert Benedict at that point? Were you thinking about trying to come up with a stage name, or were you just full blown?
It's funny you should ask that, because when I came out, that was always my plan. Like I went to college. I was like a theater major in college. That was my plan. I came out to LA and I got an agent, and then I got like extra work to get my SAG card. And I finally was able to join SAG, and I called SAG, and they were like, yeah, there's another Robert Benedict, so you got to pick a different name. And I was like, what? What are the fucking odds that they... You know, that there's another Robert Benedict who's an actor. He's unknown, but he like lived in the Valley. And they're like, well, you can ask. At the time, there was a different rule with SAG. You could actually try to get permission to use like a different derivation. So if he was Robert Benedict, I could get be Rob Benedict if I could get his permission. So I wrote him a letter, and then SAG wrote me back. Was like, yeah, he said no.
Oh my God.
The actual Robert Benedict was saying no. And so I just went with, you know, I couldn't go Robert Patrick because, you know, Robert Patrick was like Terminator 2.
Right.
So that I that was the first time, you know, I ever thought about like, am I going to have to do the stage name? You know, like Robbie Flash, like, is that gonna, you know? I just ended up going with Robert Patrick Benedict. I just used my full name. Which was weird. I never was comfortable with that. So like at the first part of my career, like when I was on Felicity and some other early stuff, I think in the movie Waiting too, I think I'm credited as Robert Patrick Benedict.
Yeah, I saw on your IMDb page, it's, you know, they like to point that out whenever somebody's credited slightly differently.
And exactly.
So for a lot of your early stuff, it says all three names.
Yeah, yeah. So, I never was comfortable with that, especially on set, you know, they'd be like, you know, Robert Patrick, you know, we're ready for you. like, it was not me. It just did not, like I said, Robert was, I was like, that's not me. And then I did a show, and then they kind of changed the rule, I guess, because then I did a show called Threshold on CBS. It was like 2005. And I don't know, CBS was like, we're going to get you Rob Benedict. So they like pulled some strings, and then I got to be Rob Benedict.
Wow. And I think it wasn't like the guy from the Valley writing you another letter. I changed my mind.
Exactly. He saw Waiting and then he was okay with it. No, but I don't know. They changed the rule. They probably were running out of names. You know, I mean, there was back in the day, that's why Michael J. Fox was Michael J. Fox. There was like another Michael Fox. And I don't know. I think now you can be a different derivation of a name. So I was allowed to be Rob Benedict.
Yeah. When I first got into SAG, you know, they were like, there's already a Doug Benson. So I went with Douglas Benson. And then I thought, all right, well, from here on in, you know, I'm always going to be having that conversation with people because people don't naturally call me Douglas. And right. And just within like a few jobs, I just started getting credited as Doug Benson on things and nobody ever said a word about it. So,
oh, wow. That's
Kind of naturally took over the name just because people didn't, you know, didn't think about it when they were, you know, putting the credits together on things, you know.
Wow, that's amazing. So that was just okay.
Yeah, I never had to have a conversation about it. I just suddenly started being called Doug Benson in the credits of things, and I'm not going to complain about it because that's what I prefer.
Yeah. What other Doug? What do you do?
I'm a comic as well. I was just thinking about how weird it would be if it was called Wide World of Douglases. It just doesn't have the same ring. Or even Getting Douglas with High. Like, that's...
It's not a good name for plurals. And
I'm so glad that didn't stick.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's when you say Douglas, you're going to say the last name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
If you're saying Douglas, then you're saying like Douglas MacArthur or something.
Right,
like
right. you both have good last names for your first name, though.
Oh, you know? Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, one syllable into two is, works out pretty good.
Yeah. That was the problem with Robert Patrick Benedict. It was fucking... bouncy. It was too much. Yeah. Too many consonants going on there.
Yeah, there's a lot going on. What had been your relationship with the name Doug? Have you known many Dougs in your life?
You know, I had, in the Midwest, there are lots of, you know, Dougs and Chris's and, you know, Kevin's I grew up with, but I was never really... Only Doug, the first Doug that I remember having a relationship with was my, and when I was in college, I was a waiter at a restaurant and my manager was Doug. And we got along really well and we'd get high together and, you know, he was like a cool dude. And then when I got my first manager in LA, his name was Doug. And I'd say my manager that was the closest I've been with a Doug. And we worked together for like 10 years, Doug Wald. And he was a good buddy of mine.
Just a chill, regular.
It's what's funny is that I used to tell Doug Wald this. He reminded me of my Doug manager, who, you know, they both were like laid back guys that like, if you were stressed out, they could kind of calm you down. you know, and they were just like, kind of roll with it, sort of like, hey man, it's all good, bro, you know, kind of guys like that. And you know, as a manager, that was a good quality to have. And then like a whole bunch of like Doug Wald, his like we were just good buddies. We became good friends, and then he got like some like super famous clients, and then he just like decided that's who he was going to represent, and then Art.
I'm going to go with these big clients over here.
Exactly. When that's when he kind of became sucky. But before that, he just had this really. They looked like each other too. Dark hair.
Have you had times in your life when you've met people named Rob or Robert who you thought, but that person doesn't seem like a Rob or Robert to me?
Yeah, a little bit. I have met a good deal of Robs, and yeah, I'm always like, oh wow, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like if you, I don't know, you went to like a convention and, you know, like a chess convention, you're like, wow, there are a whole bunch of different types of chess players. You know what I mean? It's like, we all have the name Rob, but like, there are all sorts of Robs out there. There's this guy I played music with, who's a drummer, his name's Rob Humphreys. And, you know, that's always confusing because if you're in a band together, it's like, hey, Rob, what, you know? And you have to come up with a nickname all of a sudden. There's like a lot of pressure, yeah. You know what I mean? Oh shit, we got to call you Drummer Rob or whatever. But he's a really cool looking dude. He's got like long blonde hair. And we actually got, we were on tour in Europe and went into England, and they like pulled him aside because he looks so much like a rocker. They're like, you're in a band. You must be here for a gig. And he was like, yeah, we got busted for being in England without a work permit. And we got like deported back to America.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Basically because he looked like a rocker. So some asshole, you know, the guy at the border pulled him aside and was like, where's your permit for your gig that I'm sure you have tonight. And then we had to stay at the airport for a long time. And then finally like, yeah, we're sending you back to America. Anyways. So his name's Rob, but he's really cool. He's like, you know, 10 years younger than me. And he's got like long blonde hair. I wish I looked like him.
Well, that's the thing. Like you brought up an interesting point with like, the, you know, if you just collected a bunch of Robs together, they would all not, you know, there wouldn't be anything common with each other other than just being a bunch of dudes.
Right.
And that's true. The name Doug, but for some reason, most Dougs that I meet, including when I first met Doug Millard, it never seems like a name somebody should have. And I don't know if that's just my ego or if it's because the name Doug is so kind of not, that there aren't any real specific associations anybody has with the name other than people that are just a little more, not terribly flamboyant.
That makes sense. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you don't meet a lot of Dougs with a big personality.
No. No, and that's what I mean. Like the Dougs, the two Dougs I pointed out were like just like mellow, kind of steady dudes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's always a weird thing when there's another Rob. There's a weird sort of, you do have an ownership over the name. And you're like, oh, that doesn't seem fair. You know what I mean? I'm not. There's a book called Mysteries of Pittsburgh that Chabon, C.H., Michael Chabon, C-H-A-B-O-N, wrote. And he has a whole passage in there where he talks about two of the main characters have the same name. And he talks about that feeling when you meet someone with the same name and you have a weird sort of almost competitiveness or something over it. that's what I like about Rob with the long hair that I know is like, he's such a cool dude. Like I've got no competitive with it, but there are other Robs I've met where I was like, there's enough Robs. And yeah, I'm Rob. You can't be
right.
Yeah, well, that's like in general, I like that there aren't that many Dougs that I come across, but I especially like, you know, the lack of them in show business at any given time, especially in comedy. Like, I, you know, feel like I know all the other Dougs in comedy, and there's not too many of us.
Who is it? Who else besides you and Millard?
That's the thing. It's a super short list. Doug Stanhope,
mm-hmm.
And then in my early days of stand-up, I knew a guy named Doug Sparks, who I don't even know if he does stand-up anymore.
Huh.
But we have both, the two Dougs, we've each prepared for you and for you alone a very specific five questions. I don't know what five questions Doug Millard is going to ask. He doesn't know what five questions I want to ask you. We're going to take turns asking those questions.
Okay.
With five and five. Right after this break, we'll be right back.
Can't wait.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
We're back with Rob Benedict and Five
AKA
and Five.
AKA Scrambled.
What's that?
Exactly.
AKA Scrambled.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What's up, Scrambled?
That's
such a funny nickname because, like, you'd think they'd at least shorten it to Scramble.
Yeah, it was
Scrambled,
weird.
Scrambled being, like, the past of an action.
Yeah, and it was somehow meant as, like, not a cut-down, but it was meant as just, like, you know, your brother's eggs, so you must be scrambled. There was something about it, I guess, that they just, you know, because I was a less than. But really, scrambled eggs aren't less than eggs Benedict. One might argue they're better.
Yeah, but that's the thing about nicknames and young people, you know, it's just,
yeah.
It can be so random sometimes. Like, if his name was Eggs, I personally would have, like, called you Over Easy or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly, that would have been much more creative. That's what
Scrambled you're just says, or,
yeah. like, it doesn't, yeah.
Or just, you know, Yoki.
Runny. Yeah.
Yoke.
Much better, see? Already yeah. better. Poached, even.
I should go, just hang out at schoolyards and offer to do punch-up on nickname.
Who's that guy? Oh, that's our nickname, punch-up guy. So nevertheless, Scrambled Entertainment is the name of my production company.
Oh, that's wow.
Perfect. Yeah. That's, you showed them.
I showed them.
Really turned that around.
All the way to Hollywood.
Yeah. Well, a production company with that name. Jerks.
He's laughing now.
And you know, now you just have to, you know, get into some sort of war with Toss Salad Productions. ten questions total.
Okay.
Five and five.
Uh-huh.
Padgett Brewster was on last week, and she was so good at answering the questions that we didn't even get through all of them.
I do feel there's a little pressure coming in because I knew that she did a great job last week, and I know that our other podcast audience will be listening.
I mean, she's just a fascinating, like, she is so talented and has done so many things and then is so, so chill about all of it.
Mm-hmm. And her name's Padgett. If you have a podcast about names,
yeah.
Other people.
Oh, no. I mean, we did 30 minutes just on that fucked up name.
Yeah. That's a great, what a great name, Padgett Brewster. I mean, come on.
Yeah, no, she really, that's the thing. That's part of what we're kind of getting into on the show is, like, do names hold people back? Do names, propel people forward? Like, you know, I think it's a strange thing to have a name slapped on a baby that doesn't have any personality yet.
Right.
And then somehow people grow into their names.
It's true. And even the fact that I was named after my mom's dad, like, you know, there's that element too. Like, well, what was he like? Am I like him? Or, you know what I mean? Like, turns out I wasn't really, he died when my mom was really young and all this stuff. But, like, I don't know, there is this weird ownership or this weird sort of something passed on to you, you know, when it isn't just a name out of the ether, but it comes from another person. And then certainly when it came out to, I had honestly, this whole call with SAG, when they're like, there's already, you can't have that name. I had I was really emotional about it. Cause my whole, you know, I had this plan. I was going to come out and be an actor. I had this plan. Like, I never put in my plan that there was going to be another Rob Benedict, You know what I mean? And I wasn't going to be allowed to have my own fucking name, you know? So, it's really interesting.
And what kind of career could that guy possibly have right now? Because whenever we're talking about Rob Benedict, we're not talking about him.
No, I know. I don't know. I don't know if he's still alive or anything. If he is, he must not be a fan of mine.
Speaking of ownership, went the wrong way.
Exactly.
All right, I'm going to go first.
Okay.
First question, coming out of the gate with a real tough one.
Okay.
On your IMDb page, Rob Benedict, there's the that row where it says best known for, and it's got four titles.
Yeah.
They currently are, I mean, it's a nice, nice group of names. Supernatural, the TV show, and then the motion pictures, and they lean towards motion pictures when they can, you know, so that's why you probably just have the one TV show in your top four.
Right.
The movies are Waiting, State of Play, and Not Another Teen Movie.
Ah, okay.
So my question is, if you could change just one, what would you take out of that top four and what would you replace it with? From your personal perspective, what you'd most like to be known for?
Oh, okay. Interesting. I'd take out State of Play just because my part in it is so small.
What are you doing that?
I'm like, there's like a scene where Jason Bateman is there. He's in one hotel room being interrogated by what's his name? Who's the Australian movie star, Academy Award winner? He's the lead in that
movie. Hugh Jackman?
No.
Russell Crowe?
Yeah, Russell Crowe. Russell Crowe's in the other room sort of interrogating Jason Bateman, and we're in the room right next to it, and we're like, he's wearing a mic. He's wearing a wire. And so we're like listening to the conversation and making little comments. I'm in the movie for maybe 10 minutes. So just that, just because, you know, if people are like, yeah, I saw State of Play, what to see you in State of Play, like, you know, but I blinked and missed you sort of thing. So I might take that out. Although, you know, it was a big powerhouse movie with a lot of people in it. And, you know, it was funny to work with Russell Crowe, who was getting high the entire time, by the way, if we're talking about weed. But he was really great to me. People have said, I've heard various stories about him, but he was awesome to me. I think because I had the smallest part in the thing. He was like, in this scene, like there was one of the scenes I had no lines. And he's like, I think, you know, Rob here should come in and say this and do this.
Oh, and wow.
The director's like, okay. I mean, basically Russell Crowe was like kind of running the show.
Yeah.
He's like, this is what's going to happen in this scene. So he gave me a line to do, gave me business to do. And they're like, okay, great. Let's, we'll set up for the shot. And then he leaned into me. He was like, you can thank me later. So I was like, all right, Russell Crowe, thank you. But that being said, I'm taking that out of the list and I'm putting in, I might put in Felicity, just because like that show kind of meant a lot to me, because it was really my first big job and I was on it for 4 years, and it was almost like kind of college, you know, because it was 4 years and we were all very close. And even to this day, I'm close with a lot of people from that cast. It was just one of those shows that, like, the more I worked out here, the more I realized that was kind of lightning in a bottle, just that we all loved each other so much. And it was, you know, J.J. Abrams' first TV show and Kerry Russell's first thing. And it was just, you know, it just meant a lot to me. So I might put that up just because, you know, I'm nostalgic like that.
Yeah, that's a perfectly reasonable. I was kind of surprised it wasn't there, but the algorithm leans towards, you know, trying to put films in people's, you know, best known for. So when in a big movie, it's gonna pop in there like that.
Yeah, and at the time, I know State of Play was sort of a big deal because so many people were in it.
But that was a huge movie.
Yeah.
All right. Very well. Excellent answer.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's Doug's turn now.
All right. I just got to ask, In Supernatural, do you feel, is there a lot of pressure in playing God?
Yes. Yeah. What's really especially weird about it is that, you know, fans still like refer to me as God. And even like if they see me in other shows, they'll be like, hey, look, I saw God on NCIS. You know, hey, you know, God was on Bosch. So, yeah, so I feel like it's like a moniker that's sticking with me and not incredibly comfortable with it just because it, you know, it's, you know, few people can say they played that role and it just
right.
A big undertaking. And it was especially weird, like when the last season last year, my character became kind of an evil god. So like, you know, God's bumming me out.
Yeah, you got people on the street shouting at you, don't be a dick, God.
Exactly. I mean, that's exactly what was happening. You know, 2020 was so bad and it was like kind of apocalyptic and everyone was, you know, fans of the show were blaming me.
Oh, my goodness.
on the show, I was basically destroying worlds because they did this sort of meta thing where I decided the show was over and that's kind of what was happening. The show was ending because my character decided the universe was over. It was that was done. So it was my fault the show ended. Like, it was really a lot to take on.
Yeah, it's a lot of weight to carry around.
Yeah, yeah. Man.
Were you like a pariah at the rap party?
Well, fortunately or unfortunately, they had to cancel the rap party because of COVID.
So, dang.
Yeah, it kind of ended unceremoniously.
Because of God.
Yeah, it was weird. We shot that show for 15 seasons. I started in like season 4 and I basically recurred. And, but in the last season, we were 2 episodes away from finishing the entire thing and COVID struck. And so we had to push pause and then we finally got back up there in August. We shot in Vancouver. We went back up and shot the last 2 episodes. But yeah, it was a weird year. It was a weird way to end.
And you got in and out of Vancouver without catching any COVID?
Yeah. You know, it was all very, you know, I was tested here before I left. Mm-hmm. I basically flew with a hazmat suit on and then I had to quarantine. You have to quarantine in Canada for 14 days.
How boring was that?
It was pretty boring. I got to Vancouver and they get us an apartment. So I had a little apartment, like a 1-room apartment on the 14th floor of a building. But literally it's 1 room with a bed and a kitchen. And, but you know, I'm on the 14th floor. So it was a weird phenomenon of like being not touching your feet, not touching the earth for 14 days. You know what I mean?
I'm like, yeah.
You know what I mean? And as soon as I got there, like, you know, I ordered groceries and alcohol and weed. I had those 3 things delivered. And then, you know, but then after about 7 days, it just kind of got old. By the end, it was really rough.
Yeah.
No amount of weed.
Because you just have to stay basically in the room for that entire time.
Exactly.
Wow.
I found out another actor was staying right beneath me. And so we would, you know, we'd talk a lot, leaning over the deck, you know. How's it going?
Oh, wow.
Oh, so you had a balcony?
Yeah, I did have a balcony. And that was good. Yeah.
Nice.
I had a balcony. And like one time I had a bottle of tequila and he wanted some. He had run out of alcohol, so I tied it to a string and lowered it.
Oh my God.
You know, that kind of thing. I mean, that was a day. That was a Tuesday. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing was a big deal. But
all
yeah,
right.
I got out of there without being sick or anything, and that's it.
All right, I think
coming back to America, there's no quarantine. You come back to America, and
right?
Oh yeah, you just go dive right back into your life, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
Yeah.
What's that flapping noise? Is somebody like,
I don't know.
Do you hear flapping? Flapping?
Hear that? Right
yeah.
There?
I hear it now.
Yeah. Who's doing that? who's the sneaky flapper? all right. My next question is, do you remember what you were doing when, Felicity got her haircut?
I do remember that pretty well because she got it cut and right after she got it cut, we did this thing for the Emmys where they wanted like the cast of Felicity to do, like she was going to be a presenter, and then the shows nominated that she was introducing or whatever, we were going to do sort of the cast of Felicity doing a mock scene from that show. So it was like, I can't remember what, all I remember is one of them was NYPD Blue, and that's the one I was in. So we actually went to the set of NYPD Blue and recorded this little thing for the Emmys. Anyway, for Carrie, for the whole thing, Carrie, I got to the trailer, and she just looked a little bit different. She's a beautiful person, but she just looked a little different, and I didn't realize she was wearing a wig. So she had cut her hair, but they didn't want anyone to know yet while she was doing the Emmys, because it was kind of like, it was supposed to be a shocker on the show when you watch the show.
Right.
So I found out like later that she was actually wearing a wig that whole time. So, you know, she had this long curly hair, and it was a wig, which is just so, it seems so weird now, right? I don't know. It just seems so weird to me. So secretive. Anyway, so that's how I first, and then when I got to set, I don't know, you know, a week later, I finally saw it. You know, it was really tough on her at the time, because it was such a huge backlash. Like, ratings dropped.
Oh my
God. Yeah, it was insane. Like, yeah. it just nothing on the show changed, other than obviously like other characters on the show had a big reaction to her cutting her hair, but she did it for the attention or whatever.
Yeah.
And especially considering there wasn't, Twitter, it's pretty remarkable how fast everybody turned on that show just because she cut off all her hair.
Yeah, it was really, I mean, because the first season was such a huge success. I mean, that's obviously, it was a big deal. We got asked to do that thing for the Emmys, you know, it was like, and she won the Golden Globe, you know, after the first season, and, you know, it was like on the rise. And then they made the decision to cut her hair. And I think JJ thought it would be a fun, freaky thing to do. And so, yeah, so they did it, and they did it on camera. And yeah, but it was just huge backlash. But she pulled out of it. You know, she did all right. I mean, it made it for an interesting final three seasons for us, because it was like our budget got dropped. And, you know, in the third season, which was kind of a half season, we shot part of it on video. And, you know, under the auspices that me and another character were doing, Greg Grunberg, we were doing a documentary about the people on our friends, you know, within the show.
Right.
And the reason they wrote that plot point in is so that they didn't have to spend as much money on film.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. but she did all right. She pulled out.
I heard JJ Abrams was going to shave Chewbacca's hair for Force Awakens, but chose not to.
Yeah, it was a whole deal.
Yeah, he learned his lesson.
Yeah.
Felicity taught him a valuable lesson. All right, you're up, Doug.
All right. Have you ever had as much anxiety about anything in your life as your character Calvin in Waiting did with peeing?
You know, not to that extent, no. I am an anxious person, and I get anxious about shit, but honestly, the closest thing that comes to it is that for right after that movie came out and people started watching it, like I had a couple of people recognize me in bathrooms. Like,
oh my God.
At urinals. And that was incredibly nerve wracking. Cause then my brain does this weird thing to me. I'm like, oh shit. Like, I don't think I'm going to be able to pee here. You know what I mean?
Life imitating art.
Exactly. It's like that. Wouldn't that be the weirdest, freakiest thing? Is this person next to me, and now I can't pee? Like, you know, I had honestly,
like, he's doing the character. They're doing, so excited.
He's really doing it. Exactly. Hey, I saw God in the urinal. Yeah. So one time someone recognized me and I had to sort of go into a stall because I just didn't want to put the pressure on myself.
Wow.
Yeah. The stalls come in handy for that. Cause it is hard to pee when you feel like, you know, people there, you know who you are and are like, you know,
exactly.
Eyeing you the whole time.
Exactly. Exactly. So much so. Yeah. We do these conventions for Supernatural, and sometimes we're at a convention center where the only bathroom we have access to is the public bathroom. So, you know, your handler or whatever will walk you there. But, you know, a lot of times you'll go in and the fans will be in there like, oh, hey, what's up, God? And you're like, yeah, just give me that stall. Get me right out of that stall. Because I'm not going to put that pressure on myself. I don't need that.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty intense for Calvin.
It was
really a lot. It was very layered.
Yeah. It was very layered. And, you know, right before, like a week before I got that part, I had a baby and named that baby Calvin. That's another kind of bit of waiting. And then it was kind of weird because then I went into the movie and people were like, oh, what's your baby name? I'm like, well, his name is Calvin, but it's not, he was before I got this part. So I like name all my kids, you know what I mean? This is Calvin, this here's God. Yeah.
All right. When you mess up a line on the set of the show Bosch, do you say to yourself, damn it, Rob, you really boshed that up?
I didn't, and I should have. I really should have. Right?
You think of these things after,
right? And I do that.
But that show, I haven't dipped into it yet, but people really love it. You must get attention for it as well.
Yeah, it's funny, you know, certain shows, you know, you really find out quickly what the demographic is, like in terms of like where people recognize you, or, you know, I'll bring that up. And, you know, a lot of like our parents really like that show. But it's, you know, critically acclaimed, and it's a great show. It's really well acted. And the other cool thing about it is it's a lot of like, it's very set in LA. So just people, that's another, it's like either like my mom and her friends recognize it, or like LA people, you know, 'cause it's very, you notice like the places where they shoot that show is all around LA. So you recognize a lot of stuff.
I'm definitely going to get into it at some point. How many seasons have they done it now?
I think five or six.
Wow.
Five or six. Yeah. I think, is it over now? Or it was, I feel like the last season was the end. I think it's over now. I want to say
it's over. I don't know. That's the whole trend now is with the old, you know, we're going to do one more and then that's it.
Right.
So I don't know if that happened to Bosch or not. Have you seen any Bosch, Doug?
I have not, but I'm interested now for sure.
Titus Welliver, do you know him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's Bosch.
Boschy Bosch.
He showed up in a Mandalorian this season.
Yeah, I saw that.
And I was like, all right, here we go. Here's some acting's going to happen. And then he got killed right away.
I know. And then I wonder, you know, you wonder if it's like, if he was just a huge fan. He's like, just give me a scene. I don't even care.
Yeah, it does feel like, because they do kill off people rather quickly on the show.
And yeah.
It feels like super fans that are just happy to be there in any capacity.
Yeah. The only thing, I loved that show. I really, you know, I'm kind of a Star Wars nerd and I liked that show, but I especially like this season. But the only thing that bothered me is I always feel like the people who, you know, who work for like the, you know, who work in the Death Star or whatever. I feel like they should have British accents. You know what I mean? I feel like they should all have British accents, and on The Mandalorian they don't. In the movies, I feel like they do, but in The Mandalorian they don't. They're American.
The movies mostly do, which is such a strange, such a choice. But I think it came from just kind of the, you know, the most regal actors they could hire to play all the bad people in the original Star Wars were British. So it just, and then Alec Guinness was British. So it just really made it simple for everybody to.
Yeah.
I'm British, except for, of course, fucking Darth Vader.
Yeah, exactly. Anakin, as American as they come.
Yeah. It's a weird mix in a galaxy far, far away along.
It really is.
Like where they have a technology that I guess got buried with them because we don't have lightsabers.
No.
Yeah, so I'm hugely into Mandalorian. My you know, I have, you know, little issues with it here and there as well, though, because it is like, it's just funny the things that'll stick out to you. Like I just can't believe that a Jedi would date Cory Booker. that plot line doesn't hold up for me. I don't understand what's going on there.
Yeah. What did you think of Luke? The spoiler alert, but
yeah.
What did you think of all that?
It's fine. I just like the thing I like most about Mandalorian, and they really nailed it, I thought, in the first episode of the second season, and then most of the time in the second season, is just feeling like Star Wars, A New Hope, like feeling like that whole world, you know, like, cause they, every episode of Mandalorian has some sort of touchstone, something that reminds you of the original Star Wars, and it just feels like it's in that world of that movie. Cause all of the movie started to, for various reasons, because of budget and who's in charge creatively, the world seemed to like kind of change and morph a little bit. And in some ways, not in a good way. And the show, I don't know what Jon Favreau, I don't know what drug he took or how he managed to pull it off, but he and his collaborators they're just making Star Wars the TV show. And I just love that about it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And then the budget seemed a little lower, like especially first season Mandalorian, like, you know, there was that creature, that little like eyeball thing that came out of the door and it was literally like on a stick with someone, like, you know what I mean? Like a puppet on a stick. And I loved that. You know what I mean? I love the sort of lo-fi.
Yeah, the practical stuff is great. And then they can go back to different things like the slave girl in Jabba the Hutt's.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Palace or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or again.
In the bar and Tatooine and all that stuff.
All right, we're doing good. We're doing good. I think we can get through all 10 questions. Doug?
Okay, great.
Right.
Number three on my side. You're the front man for a great band, Loudon Swain. I've really been enjoying being a musician with the last year being so bizarre.
Yeah.
Just curious for your opinion. What's an album or a band you've been gravitating towards to kind of help out lately?
So let's see. God, yeah, music so much. I've been listening to a lot of vinyl and Rolling Stone does this like top 500 albums of all time. And it's totally arbitrary and, you know, but I still, I'm like, if it's made the top 10, it's an album that I should have on vinyl. So I like went and got the albums I didn't already have on vinyl that were in that top 10 of their top 500 list.
So what was missing out of the 10?
So in my collection, I did not have Marvin Gaye, What's Going On, which is number one on their list. And I didn't have Velvet Underground, the album with the banana on the front.
Oh, yeah.
I got that. And then I just got Exile on Main Street.
And wow.
Yeah, so I didn't have those on vinyl. So I've been listening to those. And Rumors. I never had Rumors on vinyl, right? I've always
It's a good mix.
Ways. But yeah, so now I've been listening to that. And like, you know, all these albums, you're like, I don't know if I've sat down and listened to this Velvet Underground record.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I know like maybe 3-4 of these songs, but like you sit down and listen to the whole thing, like, fuck, this is great. And so you're like listening to an album, you know, what, 40 years old and 50 years old and discovering it for the first time.
Yeah, I mean? Taking it in. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know,
and that's the great thing about vinyl. Like, you do have to, you can't skip around. It's not on a shuffle on a playlist. Like, you take it in. You really enjoy it.
Exactly. That's what's great. You enjoy albums for being albums, you know, and it's so easy on Spotify or iTunes to just jump around. Same with Rumors. Like, I know Rumors, I know those songs really well, but like, it dawned on me, like, wow, all these songs are on this album. It's like every song is good, you know? It's like a greatest hits, but it was all just one album.
This should be in a top 10.
Exactly.
And it turns out
it's good to still, it's nice to still have vinyl around for situations where like something bad happens, you can run over and scratch the record.
Yeah, or just
oh no, why?
Yeah, or just put it in front of the sun so it warps. It's always fun.
Yeah. Very satisfied with that answer. Great answers.
That was a great answer. That was good. Like that. You could do a whole episode on that subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm going to change the subject drastically and ask you, what's the name of the best strip club in Columbia, Missouri?
Oh, man, I wish I knew what this was. I don't know. I mean, I left when I was 18. Not would to say
you,
that that's a
but like when you were like 17, would you hear about the strip club in town at all?
If I did, I don't at all remember. You heard about the sort of like kind of towny bars. I'm sure there was. I'm sure there's something out by the airport. You know what I mean?
I think I know the name of it. I just wanted to get it confirmed.
Oh, really? Really? Tell me and I'll see if I've heard of it.
When you were there, was there something called Esquire?
It doesn't sound that familiar. I mean,
Club the Esquire or something like that.
Okay. It sounds like a strip club, but wasn't on my radar.
Yeah. Who knows if it's changed hands or whatever, but one time I was there and I'll never forget it because it's like in a sort of like in a mini mall kind of situation. And I don't know what was going on. This was like, you know, probably 3-4 years ago now, but that place, you know, we just, me and another comic just went there on a goof, you know, and next thing you know, we were sitting like on a bench outside the club with a few of the dancers, like just not, you know, wearing next to nothing and drinking and smoking weed.
Oh my God.
It was like, it was the greatest experience I've had in a strip club was not being in the club, but being outside in the parking lot.
Just hanging with the crew.
Chilling, like everyone was so chill there. I couldn't, and because also, you know, Missouri is not exactly the
right.
It's not a pro weed state at all.
No, not pro anything like that. But it's Columbia is a little different in that Columbia is
because it's a college town.
Yeah, it's a college town, and you know, my mom always says it's the blue dot in the middle of the state.
All right. I didn't know where that question was going
to
go, but
I can't, only thing that comes to mind is the Blue Note, which is just a music club.
Yeah.
Do you remember where you played when you were there, where you did your stand-up?
Well, I played at a place where they do comedy some nights of the week, but most of the time it was like a nightclub, dance club, and it was called Deja Vu.
Oh yeah, Deja Vu. I remember that. We used to go there.
That was very notorious. Like apparently they had some legal issues with over-serving and serving underage people or some stuff like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say I used to get in there when I was in high school. I could get in.
Yeah, exactly. So that place got shut down.
Okay.
Eventually caught up to them.
Funny.
All right, Doug, you're up.
We might have lost him.
So sorry. I just lost. This is a hard one, so just think on it. But regular or peanut M&Ms?
That's a tricky question. It's really tricky because, I mean, I love M&Ms, but I really do love like peanuts, peanut butter. So I'm going to go with peanut M&Ms.
Yeah, good answer. Yeah, that's the only answer.
This is packs that little
I think, like, punch. Especially if I'm like feeling peckish, like if I'm hungry in a hotel room and the mini bar's got regular M&Ms and peanut M&Ms, I'll go with the peanut ones just because it feels more substantial. It feels like an actual. Yeah.
It's got protein.
Yeah. Whereas regular M&Ms just feels like you're eating mints or something. It doesn't add.
Yeah, it's just sugar. Where the other one, you're right. It's like the other one could be a meal. What'd you have for lunch? I had peanut M&Ms.
Nuts really make it more more filling and satisfying, even though I generally don't like nuts and things, but in that case that's the way I go.
I do like nuts in M&Ms, and I like peanut butter a lot. I like peanut butter in a lot of things. What I recently got back into is, have you guys ever had Take Five candy bar?
Oh man, that's got like five different
things. It's got five different things. Those are all my favorite things. It's like chocolate, peanut butter, toffee,
caramel,
marshmallow,
peanut
butters, the works,
and paint.
That's right.
All right, so I screwed up. My last question should be the very last question of all the questions.
So do you want me to do one more?
I ask it. So go ahead and ask your fifth question.
Okay, last question on my end. Because you wrote and produced and starred in the short The Sidekick, how would you rank the following sidekicks? Robin, Chewbacca, and John Oates.
Man, I mean, I think I have to go with Chewbacca number one. It's funny, yeah. when I was writing that movie, I never thought about Chewbacca as a classic sidekick. And so I think Robin's got to be number two, just because that's kind of who I based that character off of.
Right.
And then and so the third would be John Oates. No disrespect.
Of course.
That's a great question.
Solid answer. And where can people watch The Sidekick? Because
The Sidekick, it used to be on Amazon, but I think they took it off. So I guess just see if you can find it somewhere. And if not, I'm working on getting it back up.
Cast is amazing. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'll just put it up on the internet, put it up on YouTube and put it out that way, because I'd rather people be seeing it than not.
Yeah. Well, good answer. Okay. That's a perfect ranking. John Oates. Poor John Oates. All right, Dougie.
We're coming down to the wire.
Okay.
We got in all 10 questions in time.
Fantastic.
You do great work.
Thank you.
The question for you, Rob Benedict, is whose questions were better, Doug Millard or Doug?
Oh, man. That's really hard. That's really hard to. My answer is Peanut. Peanut M&Ms.
It's always a safe answer, because who's gonna get upset when you're talking about Peanut M&Ms?
Yeah, I like both Dougs equally. I like both of your gumption.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Well, I was trying to get an upper hand here, but I think we both asked great questions.
You really did.
The answers were even better.
Thank you
once again to Rob Benedict. Is there anything specific you'd like to plug before we go?
Not yet. I'm going to be on. I'm in this season of Lucifer, and the next season that's coming out. Besides that, stay tuned.
Yeah, and listen for both Rob and I on Will You Accept This Rose?
That's right.
Doug Mellard, what do you got to promote?
I'll just say find me on social at Doug Mellard, M-E-L-L-A-R-D.
Oh, that's perfect. They'll be able to find out about all the things you're up to if they find you on social.
Fantastic.
All right. This has been another great episode. Thanks to you, Rob. And
thanks, Doug.
As always... Congratulations to First Gentleman Doug.
Got it.
Oh, wait, he's like Second Gentleman is the official.
Hey. First Gentleman in our hearts.
Yeah.